Welcome to the inaugural Marketplace PetroState podcast for Monday, January 7th, 2013. I'm Scott Tong of the Marketplace Sustainability Desk. Today, we talk Promised Land, that new movie starring Matt Damon, John Krasinski, and in a supporting role, natural gas fracking. First, here's my review of the film that aired on the show last week. And then I'll have a conversation with an expert that you won't want to miss. Does politics belong in the movies? Director Frank Capra once said, if you want to send a message, try Western Union. The film Promised Land considers the controversial drilling practice of fracking. But despite the title, it's theology-free, says co-writer and star Matt Damon.
It's not meant to give you any answers. It's actually just meant to catalyze some conversation and reflection.
Damon plays a natural gas landman. He's a salesman who goes into a Pennsylvania town and talks the farmers into allowing drilling on their property in exchange for money. His character is a country boy himself.
I grew up in a large farming community. Football Fridays, tractor pulls, cow tipping, all of it.
In this scene, he talks of his own hometown, how the economy died when the local Caterpillar plant closed.
The truth was, without the plant, without the industry, we had nothing. And my whole town was... I'm not selling them natural gas. I'm selling them the only way they have to get back.
He's too earnest to be an underhanded corporate Grinch. If anything, Matt Damon's heart seems three sizes too big. So as the farmers decide about fracking, an environmentalist with a baseball cap shows up to push back. John Krasinski goes man-to-man with Matt Damon in a local bar, asking if he has what it takes.
You have what it takes, Steve.
Hmm?
You think you have what it takes?
Oh, to beat you? Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you just might.
Hey, man, I'll drink to that.
Okay.
This duel stars two nice, manipulative guys. Yes, nuance. That is, until the voice of conscience in the film shows up and starts to paint in black and white. Hal Holbrook plays a high school science teacher who challenges natural gas guy at a town hall meeting. He says fracking's risk is too high.
Mr. Butler, you and I both know the information I've been talking about is vast and detailed.
You're probably right. I'm not the guy with all the answers.
Oh, well, then you'd be the perfect guy for them to send here to deny everything.
This truth teller says fracking scorches the earth under our feet, that it's selling out the future. A plot twist at the very end confirms the corporate villain. Okay, bye-bye, reality. Yes, gas companies have been found to spill chemicals in spots where animals have died. Some have built their wells poorly, allowing natural gas in water wells. But in many parts, industry has fracked without incident for decades. So it seems reasonable to ask, could fracking be like air travel, a manageable risk with strict rules? Could there be bigger risk to water than fracking? Could the experts actually not have all the answers yet? This film, though, invites commentators who already have them all. An oil and gas lobbying group has a counter film ready with the real facts. Yoko Ono heads a new Hollywood group, dead set against fracking. Check your social media listings. Is this a conversation Matt Damon had in mind? For those of you who think there may be a more grown-up debate to be had on energy and jobs, taxes and subsidies, carbon pollution and future generations, well, Promised Land leaves you in the wilderness. Awaiting hate mail from both sides, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace. Indeed, those comments have rolled in. Share yours at marketplace.org. And online, I also have an ongoing fact check of the movie's representations of the industry, or frack check, if you like. And now, a chat with a man at the epicenter of the shale gas debate in the Marcellus Shale, Pennsylvania. John Hanger is former head of the Department of Environmental Protection in Pennsylvania. He's now an attorney, but mostly he's running for governor in 2014 as a Democrat. Here it is. John Hanger, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Maybe we can just talk first about some of the specific representations in the film, and I want to kind of ask you about those. Of course, one of the central premises about is the role of the landman. Matt Damon, Frances McDormand, they represent a gas drilling company, go to a town and try to convince landowners to let the company drill on their land. in exchange for money, and obviously talk about the pluses of that. I mean, how much of an approximation of reality is that?
Well, look, in the movie, Matt Damon plays a landman who takes great pride in offering and closing deals well below market value. He, I think, can be found in the business, people who essentially take advantage of folks by having more information and not arriving at a market value sale. But there are also certainly landmen who don't proceed in that way. And I guess that's one of my fundamental problems with the movie. It portrays the whole issue around gas drilling and the people involved in gas drilling, whether they be landmen, whether they be folks who are trying to stop gas drilling, or people who do sign leases, as either good or bad. And you know, for me, this issue is full of grays.
The big one of the big environmental premises of the film, of course, is the image you see several times of the dead cows. Now, there has been at least one case that's been connected to these frack fluids and dead cows in Louisiana, as I understand it. What, in your view, is the kind of the right perspective on that question?
Right. Well, the first thing is I wish the industry was more forthright and honest about the fact that you can't do gas drilling with zero impact. Sometimes I think the industry comes across as though there are no impacts associated with gas drilling. That's simply not true. I'm familiar generally with a case in Louisiana, and I believe, though I'm not 100% certain, that wasn't a case of gas drilling.
Right, as I understand it, I believe the fluid on the surface, they had a spill at the surface before it went down, before the fracking stage of the process.
That's right. They had spills at spill at the surface, and cattle came into contact with the foul water and may well have died as a result of it. There are impacts from gas drilling, but the question becomes, what can you do to minimize those impacts? And frankly, landowners want those impacts minimized.
Sure.
A smart lease would have strong environmental protections over and above what regulations may require. And a decent lawyer will make sure that happens. And then the next question, and this is even more difficult, is, well, if we said no to gas drilling, if we literally stopped gas producing, how would we run our society tomorrow? This is the conundrum. The alternatives to natural gas production that could take the place of 26% of our total energy. 26% of our total energy comes from natural gas. 51% of our homes today are heating with natural gas. Are things like coal, oil, and nuclear. I'm a huge proponent of renewables, wind and solar. I buy wind for my home. I've led campaigns to get more wind farms built and solar built, and I'm thrilled that they're growing rapidly. But today they provide probably less than 3% of our total energy. So if you're not using gas, you are going to use more coal and oil, or 10 years from now, more nuclear, because it takes about 10 years to build a nuclear plant. And all of these other choices have impacts. And in the case of coal and oil, they have both economic impacts, national security impacts. We still import 40% of our oil. And they also have environmental impacts. And today, about half of America's coal-fired power plants are more than 40 years old.
Now some groups would say, okay, hold on. If we look to some other countries in Europe, they have a significant percent of their energy coming from renewables.
Well, look, I favor many of those policies to scale up renewables. And California is the most aggressive state in the country in building renewables. And their goal is to have 30% of their electricity, not their total energy, electricity coming from renewables by 2020. And I think they're going to achieve that. But then it leaves the question, where's the other 70% of electricity coming in 2020 in California? Is it going to come from coal? Is it going to come from gas? Is it going to come from nuclear energy?
Well, John Henry, let me ask you
about another defining visual in the movie and in this debate is water on fire. The scene in the movie is a representation that the environmentalist shows a classroom full of kids. You've been involved in your previous life with the case in Dimmock, Pennsylvania. So what is the real threat or no of flammable chemicals getting into drinking water?
Right. The real story is not what the industry says, and it's not what some environmental groups typically say. Mm. The real story in Dimmock was that gas drilling mistakes were made. The gas drilling company in doing it there made mistakes that allowed methane to migrate to 18 private water wells. It didn't cause chemicals to get to anybody's water.
So it's not the frack fluid chemicals, but it was the methane that was far underground kind of seeped up and got into the water supplies?
Right. Okay. And some in the industry say, well, that gas was there before the drilling happened. Mm-hmm. It was naturally occurring methane. In the case of Dimmock, we did complex testing, very sophisticated testing, and proved it was not naturally occurring methane. The methane that got into the 18 water wells in Dimmock was a result of the mistake in gas drilling. But again, it wasn't the frack fluids coming from depth and contaminating people's water. So sometimes the industry says nothing happened in Dimmock. That's not true. Mm. Sometimes I hear some environmental groups say that the water was fouled with chemicals and fracking caused the water to be polluted with all kinds of contaminants. That's also not true. Now, when private water well is contaminated with methane, that's a problem. It's a big problem for the family who experiences that. And I feel very strongly that the gas industry, every member of the gas industry, should fess up to those problems and compensate fully. In the case of Dimmock, we fined the company $1.3 million. Mm-hmm. But
this is
we
Cabot
also,
Oil and Gas?
It's Cabot Oil and Gas. Mm. We also established a $4.1 million compensation fund paid for by Cabot, 18 individual escrow accounts for those families, twice their property value. Many of those families had gas drilling leases. They kept their property, they kept their mineral leases, and they got, on average, $200,000 to compensate them. And we told Cabot to plug three gas wells, which is a big expense to them. And by the way, that's taking a royalty check away from a family. And that money may be very important to a family. And we told Cabot to repair gas wells. And by the time I left office, which was in January 2011, of the 18 water wells that had been contaminated, the methane was out of 14 of them, while four still had high levels of methane that indicated the problem hadn't been fully fixed.
Part of your platform, I gather, is running for governor, is to impose or increase the severance tax in Pennsylvania. So I guess the question is, you know, the economy is still trying to get on its feet, and a lot of the jobs in your state are connected to this shale revolution. If you tax it, you're going to increase the costs of each well. The price of the commodity is still low. You're going to slow these jobs coming back to the Pennsylvania economy. What would your reply to that be?
That it's flat out wrong for a variety of reasons. First, every other state that produces natural gas is already taxing natural gas, both with a severance tax and often with a property tax. Mm. Texas is a prominent example. I also should point out that the job creation in Pennsylvania has been important. It's been a boost to our economy as a result of shale gas. There are people who have gone from unemployment or underemployment to $50,000, $75,000 a year jobs. That's absolutely true. Mm. In counties where the shale gas drilling is concentrated, unemployment rate is probably being cut in half in most cases. But Pennsylvania has got over 6 million jobs, and the vast majority of Pennsylvanians don't have employment from the natural gas industry.
Mm, okay. Finally, a BS detector question. Well, take both sides of this debate, and I want you to put them to the truth test, one from each side, if you would.
Okay. The impression and sometimes explicit words from the gas industry that I think is just wrong is at least the impression that is left with many audiences that gas drilling has no impacts. And all the processes are 100% perfectly safe. That's just not accurate. There are very good companies working hard on safety, and they have a good safety record. But the impact, it will never be zero, no matter how well it's regulated. For me, it's important to recognize that and work hard to reduce the rate of accidents and spills and to reduce the impacts and maximize the benefits. From the other side, I often hear that gas drilling is the single worst possible energy source. It's poisoning waters, and that we can immediately replace it, and implicitly coal and oil, with renewables.
Right. Or as the school teacher says in the movie, the risk is simply too high, as he puts it.
Right. The risk is so high that we should stop it immediately. That's just not true either, at least when you compare risks that we accept from all our other energy choices. You know, I live in the Three Mile Island evacuation area. Three Mile Island's a nuclear plant. It had a meltdown. There are lots and lots of old coal-fired power plants operating this morning that have no pollution controls or very few pollution controls on them. They're putting out huge amounts of mercury soot and other pollutants that, according to the EPA and very good science, causes 34,000 premature deaths a year. Corn ethanol and big hydro have massive water impacts, much bigger than gas drilling. So I'm not belittling or minimizing the impacts from gas drilling. They exist. I think I've said that repeatedly here today. But to exaggerate them and not recognize that those impacts are actually less and the risks are less than other forms of energy that we are totally dependent on right now, I don't think is correct, or in some cases, just not honest.
All right. John Hanger, appreciate your time very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's the Marketplace Petrostate podcast on this Monday, January 7th, 2013. We'll be back soon with another version and a whole lot more on fracking, energy, and the environment. Send along your comments, happy and otherwise, once again to marketplace.org. I'm Scott Tong.